Hello everyone, welcome to the daily Mishnah share, learning Maseches Bava Kama, Le'ilu Nishmas Chaim Baruch Ben Zavil, and Perel Bas Pinchas. We're holding the beginning of Perek Yod, the last Perek in Bava Kama, but first let's chazer over our last three Mishnahs from yesterday. In Perek Tes Mishnah Yod Tara, so Omer Livno, Kona Miata Nana Mishali. Person swears to his son that you have an Isser Hana, you can't be Nana from my items, from my property. In Meis Yerushem, if the father dies, the son can still be Yerushem, still inherits. There's no Isser after the father has died. The chayv of Moso, but if the father stipulated both while he's alive and after he's died, he may spoil Yerushenu. If he dies, the son can't inherit it. Now he does actually inherit it, but he can't get any benefit from what he inherited. The achsel levanav olechov, he has to give those items to the sons, meaning his brothers, olechov or his father's brothers if he doesn't have any brothers himself. V'imeinlo, if he doesn't have, and he doesn't have anything to eat, he has to have this inheritance, he has to be able to benefit from it. He can borrow from people, and those creditors will go get paid back from the inheritance money that he has a problem getting benefit from, but they, of course, don't. Mishnah Aleph taught us, it goes with us, a ger v'nishba lo v'meis, one who steals from a ger and falsely swears, and then the ger dies, so he'd have to return keren, chomish, and asham for what he did. The keren and chomish can't go to the ger, and there's no yorshim, so it goes to the kohanim. And the korban asham, of course, goes to mizbech. If the man has no redeemer to give what he is guilty for to him, asham meaning the guilty items, the one he's guilty for, goes to the kohen. Aside from the korban, that'll be mechaper for him. He was bringing these items, the money, right, and the asham, bringing it up the mace, and he, the thief, died. Hakesef, you know, saying Lebanov, the kesef can go back to his sons. There's no need to bring it to the Kohanim. Now he's Yotze getting it out of his hands by the fact it was going to Kohanim. It didn't get there yet, so the sons can keep it. And the asham has to graze until it gets a mum, and then they sell it, and they bring a korban with its money, they bring an ola. If he gave the money to Mishmar, the Kohanim families were divided up to a yearly cycle of different Mishmaras of Kohanim. So he gave the money to whatever that Mishmar was at the time, and then he died. They already have the money, though. The Yorshim now cannot take it away, even though it would be, in theory, theirs had he not given it to the Kohanim. Once he gave it to Kohanim, they can't take it back. A man that will give it to a Kohen, to him it will be. If he gave the kesef to Yori, which was the first watch of the year, and the Ashim he gave to Yadayu, the second watch of the year, Yotza, that works. Give the money first, and then the Ashim. Ashim le'Yori, the kesef le'Yadayu, but if he did it backwards, he gave the Ashim first, and the kesef to the next watch, in Kaima Ashim yakivu v'nei Yadayu. If the animal's still around at that point, hadn't been offered by the family Yoyariv. So now Yedaya will take it, they'll offer it, and they'll get to eat from it, etc. It'll be theirs. If not, it was already offered by Yoyariv, so that was wrong. It shouldn't have done, you know, it didn't make him be Yotzei as Asham. And so he has to bring another Asham after giving the money to the second watch to Yedaya. Because the Kual is, maybe Gizelo ad shelo hevi Asham ha-Yotzei. One who brings the Gezel, the money, before bringing the Asham, he is Yotzei. Hevi Asham ad shelo hevi Gizelo, but if rather Asham before bringing the Gezel, lo Yotzei. But if he used the keren of the money and didn't give the chomish, that's not ma'akev, meaning he can bring the korban at that point. Obviously, he has to give the chomish later. So now we'll start last perek. It goes on ma'achol hezbanav, one who steals an item and feeds it to his children. So it's been eaten up. V'niach lifneihem, this means or he stole the item, died, and left them the item. Peturim l'shalim, they are pater from giving that item back. I don't have to give it back. We'll see why. But if it was something that has achrayis, it generally means land that he stole. He stole a deed to land. He inhabited land that wasn't his. Chayron l'shalim, they would have to pay. Ain portin, this now seems like an unrelated din. We'll see what's going on in the rap. Ain portin lomiteva samochsin. You do not make change, break down a large coin or large bill into smaller denominations. Not from the tevas samochsin, the box of the tax collectors. Falomi kis shagabayim. Not the pocket or the satch, whatever of the whatever they're carrying around, the bag of gabayim, of people collecting tzedakah, actually it doesn't mean tzedakah specifically. Gabayim means people will collect. We'll see what they're collecting. They're collecting taxes also. They know tzedakah tzedakah, and you can't take tzedakah money from them. They're handing. Let's say they'd be handing out tzedakah. You can't take it. We'll see what's going on. You could take from the tax collector's house or from the shuk, and he has money over there, as long as it's not in his tax collecting items, then he could take from him. So says the Rav, we'll find out what's going on here. The Rav spells out, like I said, that it's two cases. Either he stole and fed it to his children, or he left to them hagzela kayemis, the stolen item kayem, be'ein, you know, intact. So he said, there peturim l'shang, imachlua acher misas avim v'leisa be'eina, if they ate it after the father died and the item is not be'ein, peturim l'shang. Right, they're put there in that point for play. Meaning, even in the case second case is apparently that by the time the father died, it wasn't around anymore. So they put them in the shale. The ha'inu lo gozel midi. The son didn't steal anything. And movable items don't have any shibud to a baal chov. Baal chov meaning in this case the victim of the thievery can want it back. He has no claim on movable items. No claim on any of their property to be able to take from their property and get paid. But if the item is not eaten and it is be'ein, right, it is intact, they would have to give it back. That's what it says. Ein portin lo mitevas hamochsin. Next Rav was on the second part of that case. If it was an object that has a chrayas responsibility, what's that mean? Kolomar, the father left to them the stolen item. It was land, right? I see right now. I don't believe that's pshat. I believe the pshat is that the stolen item was whatever it was, but the father left over to inheritance land. They have land from their father. Yeah, it's clear, that's what it means. I thought before when the Rav says v'im niach lehem is going on mishi niach of the mishman, it's not true, I believe. The Rav's saying klomer v'im niach lehem, he left over to them as a regular kosher yerusha. He left over them somebody has a chayis, which is land. Chayavim l'shalim afal pisha chulu kvar. They have to pay even though they ate up the item, the stolen item. Halchim entire to mesis in the Gemara. That is what the Mishnah is explained to mean in the Gemara. Well, in psak halacha. So it comes out, this is not really what it comes out just from our Mishnah. The Rav now goes into Psak, which is obviously taking into account other things other than just our Mishnah, but he says as follows. Well, in Psak Halacha, Hagozel Michael is one of, as far as Psak goes, one who steals an item and feeds it to his children, Bein She'achol Lifnei Yeish, Bein She'achol La'achri Yeish, whether they devoured it before the original owner, the rightful owner, had given up on it or afterwards, Chayavim L'shalim Yimamon, She'niach Lehem Avim. They have to pay from money which their father had left to them. Whether it's like our mission said, nechassim that have achrayus, land that they got from their father, or nechassim that don't have a property that doesn't have achrayus, any other movable items. Because nowadays, something has changed apparently since the time of Mishnah. Nowadays, movable items, objects, are mishubad to a baal chov. The victim can claim from any items that the sons own to be able to pay back what is owed to him. If the thief didn't leave over for his sons anything, no money, no property, if the children had ate up the stolen item, had devoured it, had used it up before the owner was miyayesh, before he gave up on it, they have to pay from their own property that didn't have to do with their father. They worked on their own, or they're going to work on their own. But if they devoured it after yeyush, they don't have to pay from their own property unless their father left them something. Says the Mishnah continues, Ein portin, ein machlifin selayim prutas. That means exchanging a sella, which is a larger valued coin, for prutas, which is smaller value coins. Can't do that. Mitevas hamlos. Lito prutos mitevasin, to take the small coins from their box, shenostin boa moos hamechas, that they put in the tax money in it. Pshat's going to be over here, probably Rav will speak it out, but they are suspected of stealing. Tax collectors. Tax collectors in back in the day weren't the most honest people, maybe not in nowadays either, but certainly you have to be wary that maybe their money that you're going to be taking is stolen. Therefore, you would be bringing stolen money into your hands. Shalom mikis shel gaboyim, not from the pocket of gaboyim. Gaboy amelech, this means collectors for the king, should go the kesef, gugolis, va'arnona. They collect a skull tax, and arnona tax probably means a property tax. Now, why these taxes? These are stolen items. This is specifically by a goyish tax or a Jewish tax, meaning Jews, probably not religious Jews, but Jews implemented this tax. That is no set amount. Yeah, the tax collector takes whatever he wants. Yeah, it's not according to any reality of what is being spent by the government and divided up by the number of citizens or anything like that. They just take as they please. That is considered stealing. Avamochis Yisrael Shehemidu Afilu Melech Nachri, a Jewish tax that was established even by a Goyish king, the Lokeach Davar Kotzev, they take a set amount, the Chok HaMalchus, by the law of the kingdom. Now that would be, it's fair, everybody pays this amount. Eino Mecheskas Gazlin. That's not assumed to be stealing, to be stolen property. But Partim Etevot, you can make change from his money. You actually can't run away from such a tax. You can't avoid it. You're not allowed to evade a proper tax. The law of the kingdom is the law. That is a bit of a discussion over here and in other places in Shas, if that applies to a government, even an officially Jewish government, but not a religious one, in Eretz Yisrael, which is obviously a hot topic over here in Eretz Yisrael currently. But definitely in America and other places you might be listening from, we follow the law of the land. Okay, but now the Mishnah continued that you can't take tzedakah from them if they'd be giving, but you could take mitoch beso or minashuk. What's mitoch beso? Shalmochis, from his house, shehu becheskas gazlin. This guy is a cheskas gazlin. You take from his house, o minashuk, imir shalmos beso o beshuk. If he has money in his house or in the marketplace, she'ena mateos hamechas, that are not in the box of the tax collecting stuff, you could take. Vimchayiv adam prutos lamochis minameches. If you're obligated to get prutos, right, meaning you want to pay half. You have a certain coin, a dinar. You have half a dinar that is what you owe. You want to get back change. You don't have a small change. No solo dinar kesef. Give him that dinar, mekali meno prutos. And you can get the change back. It's not making change. This is paying off what you owe. Apparently, this is probably a regular tax where you have to pay. What can you do, right? And you get back prutos b'shav lechetzev, afal pishon nosim lemitevus hamechas, even though he's giving you out of his box and it might be stolen, b'neishu k'matzel miyodo. At that point, consider you're saving from his hand. I think that means that you what are you going to do? You give him a full DNR and be giving him extra? So you don't want to do that. You have to get back you have to not give him extra in order that that extra amount shouldn't be staying in his hand and going to do whatever he wants with it. You have to save that amount from him. Seder, that was Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Bey says, Natul Mochin is Chamor, Venatul Chamor Acher. Say the tax collectors took his donkey, and they gave him a different one, though. Gazul Istim is Ksuso, Venatul Ksus Acheris. Thieves stole his clothing and gave him different clothing. Ari Elo Shalom, he can keep those items that they gave him in substitute for what they took. Venesha Habailim, Messiashim Yehem, the original owners of those other items certainly gave up hope in getting them back. Amatzel min nahar, one who saves items from a river, or min agayis, or from troops, or min alistim, or from thieves, im nesiyashu abaylim, over here, if you know that the original owners gave up on them, hari elu shalo, then you can keep that, and apparently not. We'll see why that's different from the other case. V'chein, nichil shodivorim, you have a beehive. Im nesiyashu abaylim, hari elu shalo. If you know that the owners of that beehive, so there's going to be money, there's going to be honey in there, so if you know they gave up on it, you can keep it. And again, apparently, if not. He says that a woman or a child, even though they can't generally give testimony, they are believed to say, that beehive came out of over there. It belongs to that tree, to that yard, whatever. You can walk through the field of your friend to save your beehive. If you damage your friend's property by walking through it, then you have to pay. But you're allowed to go in there in the first place to trespass to save your beehive that got in there somehow. You're not allowed to cut off a branch, yeah, where the bees have inhabited. Thinking in a condition that you're going to pay the owner of the tree the value of the branch and the bees. Well, the bees might be yours. I think they flew into that branch, but you're not going to say I'm going to pay back for what I took from the tree. You can't do that. He disagrees. He says you can cut it off and give them the value. So says the Rav, explaining, seems a number of disparate dinim here. So the Rav says, Hare Elu Shalom, in the first case of the Mishnah, where the tax collectors took his donkey and replaced it, or thieves took his clothing and replaced it, why is Hare Elu Shalom? The Mistam and Yisrael Shalom Amiyat. The assumption is that the original owners, right when the donkey or the clothing was taken from them, they were immediately gave up on it. The Koneu Heich B'Yeyush, right, the other one there has required it then in Yeyush, V'Shinu Rishus, and in a change of Rishus, meaning Yeyush happened, the original owners gave up on it, and it changed into the Rishus of him now, so there's no need to give it back. Now the second case, what if he saved the items from a river, troops, thieves? Over there, only if he knows, only if they gave up on it. The Shaminu Di'ayish, you have to hear that the original owners gave up. The Amri Vailachisar case, you hear the guy saying, oh, what a loss. Avostam alo, stam, you can't. What's the difference? The Reisha, the Notalistim, Oksuso, the Mashma, Stam, the Mithyashu, the Reisha, where the thieves or the tax collectors took his stuff And over there, it's mashma that the stam is that there is Yeush. My belief to Yisrael, those must have been, Rachman al-Tzal, must have been Jewish thieves. They came into dining Yisrael, Amri, Have Adam, Have Raya, being that the Jewish court system requires you to bring witnesses or some sort of proof that they stole. Once you saw it stolen by a Jewish thief, you give up, right? If the Jewish courts are going to handle it, it's quite hard, actually, to prove that the other guy stole from you. You require very certain proof. But the case in the Seifa, the second case, is Goyish thieves. Shadaini Nachrim done in Begaiva. The Goyish courts, they judge things with a certain amount of arrogance, of Yisroa, and forcefully, v'umdendas, and in the, generally what they think. They don't have set rules about it. They come up with a feeling. V'lo edim, v'lo rai. You don't need witnesses. You don't need real proof. V'anigzol mehem lo miyash. If you have your stuff stolen by a goy, it's going to be challenged in the goyish court, you might get it back, so you don't give up on it. So over there, mishum hachi, because of that, ishaminu de iayush en. If you heard him give up on it, then yeah, you can keep the item. Avostam alo. But stam is not assumed that way. Continues the Mishnah. Now we had a case of a beehive. Nechil shel devorim. The Rav says is a kivutz, is a gathering. Shenikvatzim im hamelech shelhem. A gathering that they gather together with their king. Interesting. You know, we think of it as a queen bee, and indeed as a female. The Rav seems to title it as a king bee. I don't know if he means to say that it's considered a male, but it probably means the leader. The leader, and it could be a female in this case. Then it said, the Mishnah said, it said Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka said that a woman or a katan is believed to say that from here this beehive came. The Gemara elaborates that is talking, the Rav doesn't bring it, but that's talking about where they didn't come to Basin, they're not believed to give testimony to Basin, but they said, Messiah Lefitumo, speaking out of their own innocence, hey, you know, you running after a beehive, it came from over there, right, et cetera. They're believed to say it as a matter of observation, because they have no reason to lie. Then it said you can go through your friend's field to save your beehive and you just have to pay for any damages. And then it says don't cut off its branch. Of a lo yakot as a shocha. It's Yashvu Devarim, the bees settled, Shaloh, his bees settled, al shochis chaver on the branch of his friend. Biyarlitlan echad echad shalirok. He's not going to take all the bees out one at a time. They might fly away. They'll all disperse. Lo yakot as a shocha kula. Don't cut off the whole branch. Afila amnas litin sedam, even if you're going to pay up for it. And then Rishma ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka disagreed. The Ein Halacha Rabbi Shmuel says the rest. Continues Mishnah Gimel. Hamaki Kelu B'svar of Biyad Acher. One who recognizes his vessels or his books in the hands of another. Hey, those are mine. B'yotzlo Shem Geneva B'yir. And it's already known that this person that has them currently is regarded as a thief. Yishavu L'Lokeach Kama Notzan. The Lokeach, I mean the one that's going to take them, the one who's claiming to be the original owner. The Lokeach, I should take that back. The thief who's saying he's claiming that he bought them rightfully from somewhere, right? And I should correct myself, Bob Dafka, the one who is in his hand, is accused of being the thief, or it has the name on him as a thief. Yotzel Hashem Geneva Be'ir really means more accurately that it got out that these items were stolen, not that this person that has it right now is a thief. So he's claiming that I didn't steal them. Maybe the person I bought them from stole them, but that's not my responsibility. So what happens is Yeshava Lokeach Kama Nosan, the person who has them now takes a shvu of how much he gave to whoever sold them the items, v'yitol. Then he takes that amount from the original owner. He pays it if he wants the item back. You don't get the item back stam when you recognize it. You have to pay for it. The Gemara does elaborate that in one place at least, that if someone is regarded as a Talmud Chacham, he's believed about his lost items, b'tevias ayin. He's believed to say, I recognize a lost item. I don't know if that applies about a stolen item that was bought by another. He still may have to pay up for it, but the Seder. Bim lav lo ko yemenu. If not, that means if there was no shame about this thing that had been stolen, right, and he just claims, hey, that's mine, it must have been stolen, and it's not known. Lo kol yemenu. He doesn't have such power to go and establish that it's been stolen and bought by this person from a thief. Shani omer mecharen la'achar l'koch hazeh yemenu. I'll say back to him, no, you sold it to someone else, and then this one bought it. If there's no rumor going around that it had been stolen, a known fact, so he can't do this deal. He doesn't, the current holder of the item doesn't have to agree to this b'chol. Says the Rav, Hamakir Kelev Svar V'chulei, Masisim Ba'adim She'enu Asalim Kar Kelev. We're talking about a person who doesn't generally sell things. The Kev in the Yotzel Hashem Geneva Be'ir, being that it's known in the city that this item was stolen, V'kasadi She'elu HaKelev Svarim Shalom, there are witnesses, yeah, that are saying that these are his, Hayu, they were his, they don't tell who it is now, but we know he once had that book, L'chai Shinom Dome'iu Zavninu. We don't have to be concerned that maybe he's really sold them and now he wants them back and is forcing this arrangement. We don't have to worry about that. But, so therefore, Yishava Lekech Kamenotzon V'yitol, V'yachsel Lekelov, the one currently had them swears how much he bought them for from the accused thief, and then he takes that amount and gives the item back. Lifnei Yerush Kamai, we're talking about where Yerush didn't happen, obviously the person wants his items back. Right, but again, and the contrast was, if there was no shame of Geneva Behir on these items, right, he can't just force everything to happen like this, force his deal to happen, because I'll just say back, it was never stolen, he sold them to one other guy, he sold them to this person, can't force the deal. Thank you for listening, Mr. Shemuel.